This morning's text is from the book of Genesis. God created humanity in his own image. In the divine image, God created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and master it. Take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and everything crawling on the ground." Then God said, "I now give to you all the plants on the earth that yield seeds, and all the trees whose fruit produces its seeds within it. These will be your food. To all wildlife, to all the birds in the sky, and to everything crawling on the ground, to everything that breathes, I give all the green grasses for food." And that's what happened. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Maybe seated. Now, many of you know that I grew up in the country. So I was a country kid. Near Greensboro, out in a little crossroads community called Climax there. And so if you grew up in the country, maybe like I did, in many ways, those of us who grew up in the country, our lives are sort of tied to the dirt a little bit. Either, you know, directly or maybe indirectly, but to the dirt, to the ground, to the to agriculture. My grandfather, he raised cattle. My dad raised pigs for a little bit. I can't tell you how many square bales of hay I loaded on the trailers and then into the barns. My friends, they did the same. Many of them, they actually grew tobacco. I worked in the tobacco field with them, or they grew other kind of crops, or they had chickens. So all of us were sort of tied to the dirt in one way, shape, or another. We all had gardens, or at least somebody did. My grandmother had a big garden. It was big enough where we used a tractor to cultivate it, to till it. But it was still small enough for me to be out there pulling the weeds and having to pick the snap beans and the corn and the radishes and the cucumbers and all that, those kind of things. Whether I wanted to be out there or not, that's where I was, right? All of us had to do that. Now, at my house, we didn't really have, I think we had a garden maybe once or twice. The only thing I remember about that is my dad telling me, "Okay, when you get home from school, go out there in the garden before you had planted it. I want you to go out there and pick all the rocks out of the dirt." That was fun. So normally we didn't. But almost every year, though, we would like plant something, like tomato plants many times. And so I can remember my sister and I, we would get the seeds and we would go out in the little patch of the dirt on the side of our house and we would dig it up and we would put our seeds in the ground and we would water it and then we would watch it, right? And we'd water it and then we'd watch it until we saw that first little green shoot, start to break the ground there. And push up through the dirt, and there was this pride and this joy and this connection because we had planted that and we had cared for that and we had sort of cultivated that. And so when that plant grew and it produced a tomato, that was the best thing ever. Now, I didn't like tomatoes, still don't like tomatoes, but I like to plant the seeds and to watch them grow and then to have that, give that red tomato at least to someone else. But the thing was, that little patch of ground had always been there. I just hadn't really seen it before until I took the time to plant those tomato seeds. And I think that's what Genesis 1 invites us to do, and that is to see again maybe something which we've stopped looking at very much, or at least appreciated. Because when God looks at creation, I think, the soil, the plants and the sky and animals and all of that, and finally humanity, God doesn't just glance at it. God lingers with it, right? And God delights in it. Genesis reminds us that everything around us is obviously created by God and that it's good, right? And then in verse 27, he turns to his attention to us and he says, God created humankind in his image and in the image of God, he created them. And then he looks at everything and says, it's very good. Right? Now, that doesn't mean we're always very good, right? I think God looked at creation and said, you guys have the potential to be very good, right? I'm creating you in my likeness, in my image. And so I'm giving you the power to bear that image to the world around you. And so it's important to think about how it is that we live and the decisions that we make and the way in which we are the conduits of God's mercy, love, and grace. We have the potential to be very good. As the late Old Testament theologian Walter Brueggemann said, he said, being created in the image of God is both a mandate of power and responsibility. So we have the power to bear God's image, right? To be very good. But then we also have the responsibility to be sure that we're not misrepresenting that image. In other words, we have to pay attention to, we have to be responsible for, accountable to, for the way in which we choose to live and to bear that image. And part of that responsibility then is how we care for God's creation. I mean, God commands us in Genesis 1. The first commandment really is to be fertile and multiply, right? We know how to do that, don't we? We got that down pretty well, don't we? I mean, there's 7 billion of us on this earth. So I think we're doing a pretty good job of being fertile and multiplying, okay? But the second part of that commandment, it's really the first ethical commandment in the scripture, says, fill the earth and master it. Take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and everything crawling on the ground. Now, sometimes I think when we read that, it says, take charge of it. Which we interpret, I think, sometimes as we can do whatever we want to with it. We're in charge. But that's not exactly how God intended it, okay? Sort of like when, you know, like if we hire a new staff person here, okay? Say we're going to hire a new director of youth ministries. We're not hiring a new director of youth, just want you to know, okay? Y'all can all breathe. Shelby can, you know, she can calm down now. No, we have a great one in Shelby, so we're not hiring one. But if we did, or if we hired any kind of new staff person, you know, like, for instance, you know, director of youth ministry, they're in charge of the youth ministry. Okay, they're in charge of that. Now, does that mean they get to do anything and everything they want to do? Shelby will say, well, not really, which is true. You don't get to do anything and everything you want to do because the expectation is that, you know what, our program is going to reflect, number one, who we are as Christians. But since we're also United Methodist, it's going to reflect that. And then because we're a part of St. Stephen, it's going to reflect who we are as a church as well. And whoever's in charge of that, they're going to be held accountable to that. And so they don't get to do anything and everything that they want. Which is what we find here in Genesis. God saying to us, okay, you're responsible. You're responsible. You just don't get to do everything that you want. All right? And, you know, this is, again, this is a commandment. It's fundamental. It's a, you know, it's a directive from God, so it's not political in any way, shape, or form. Okay? It's just the commandment that God says. Be responsible for that which you've been entrusted. The world in which we live in. Sort of think about it this way. Someone hands you, say, think about it, a friend hands you the keys to their brand new car and they say, take care of it for me. Right? It's brand new, not yours, but they say, take care of it for me. Now, if you're a responsible person, you're not going to trash it, are you? You're not going to ignore the maintenance on it. You're not going to treat it like it doesn't matter. Why? Because you know it's not yours. And so you're going to try to take care of that. Same way with creation. God says, all right, here it is. I'm entrusting this to you. Take care of it. So it's not a possession which we own and can do whatever we want to with it and consume as much or as whatever we want. Brueggemann went on, he said also, being made in God's image meant that humans were created to rule over creation in the way that God ruled over creation. Well, how did God rule over creation then? Well, with care, with provision, with attention to even the smallest of details, caring for it rather than exploiting it. God gives us creation. He says, I'm giving everything that you need. If you read farther in Genesis chapter 2, the other creation story there, you know, the Adam and Eve in the garden, they have everything that they need. They have more than enough, right? God says, I'm giving you more than enough. The problem is we treat it as though we don't have enough, I think. Kind of like, sort of like how people treat a buffet. You've been to buffets, okay? My family and I, we vacationed one summer down at Myrtle Beach, and when you go to Myrtle Beach or down to the coast, many times, what do you go? You go and eat where? At a seafood place, right? And many times, they always have a buffet, don't they? So sure enough, we go to one, don't remember the name, they had a buffet, but it also happened to be crab night. Or crab leg night specifically. All right. I don't know. I really don't understand that. I don't understand why crab legs are so popular. It seems to me it's a lot of work for a little bit of payoff, right? But it was crab night, and you would have thought these were the last crab legs on earth. Because people were going up to the buffet, and they were coming back, and they would have a plate. And it would be piled high of crab legs. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Number one, you're going to have time to eat all of that because it takes all. And are you really? And so people were acting like there wasn't going to be enough of these crab legs. And I think about that, and I think that's sometimes how we treat this world in which we live in. You know, we pile our plates high and we overconsume. And the problem isn't that God didn't create enough. We just many times fail to live like there's enough. Again, it's not politics, it's just remembering our calling, remembering who we are. We're these image bearers. We are in God's world, not ours. We've been given this responsibility to take care of it, to tend it. And sometimes we forget that. That's why I think it's important to remember, to raise our awareness from time to time. I don't know about you, but a couple weeks ago here, I was drawn to the Artemis II mission. Were you not? I mean, I think a lot of us were. You know, going back to the moon and the moon flyby, it was pretty, it's pretty cool there. I mean, I can even remember, it shows you my age, I can remember being in front of the TV when the first person walked on the moon, and I was like 2.5 years old, but I still have this memory of being in front of the TV watching that. But now we're going back 50-some years later, we're going to go back. But what was really kind of captivating were these images again that the Artemis II shared with us. And, I loved it. The last time we viewed the Earth in this way was 53 years ago in the last Apollo mission in 1972. No human had seen the Earth in that way. And then there was the moon rise. I love this picture, of the Earth rise over the moon. Again, humans had not seen that in 50-some years. I've read that many of the previous astronauts who've been to the moon, been to outer space, to the moon especially, they return with what we call now the overview effect. All right? It's this profound cognitive shift resulting from seeing the Earth as this tiny, fragile, and borderless oasis in the vastness of space. And they've interviewed these astronauts and how being there and seeing the Earth in that way really impacted, really changed them. And this connection, this desire to take care of and to protect, and how fragile we are, and this one dot in this vast universe. Now, probably none of us are ever going to have the opportunity to experience the overview effect. But we can maybe get outside more, and we can appreciate God's creation a little bit more. We can cultivate a renewed sense of awe and wonder, right? I mean, if you look at our social media streams, wouldn't it be cool if rather than more pictures of Disney or what we ate today or someone sitting in their car and talking about whatever, we shared more of God's creation around us, that we were taking those pictures because we were aware of that, we were in tune with that, and creating our own, maybe in our own way, an overview effect. I mean, the wonder and awe of creation helps us then become, when we rediscover that, then we become, a little more grateful for it. You know, it says, the psalmist proclaims, the earth is the Lord's and everything is in it. It's the Lord's, right? And when we cultivate that, we begin to be grateful. Grateful for it. And when we become grateful for something, then we, you know, our sense of responsibility increases. Our desire to treat it differently it grows as well. Or maybe we slow down, we handle it with care more. You know, when we're not grateful, we don't care. We treat things as disposable. We rush, we waste, we replace instead of repair, whatever. I mean, think about something that you bought for yourself versus something that was given to you by a loved one as a gift, all right? It's the same thing, all right? You know, you bought it for yourself versus someone who gave it to you. Like, you go out and you buy yourself a coffee mug. Well, great. Yes, you needed it, whatever, boom. Do you treat it a little bit differently when that coffee mug is given to you by someone that you love? Do you treasure it a little bit more when someone gives you something that you love versus you getting it yourself? I don't know about you, but I have this tendency to treat those gifts, those kind of gifts, a little bit better than if I bought it myself. Because it's not just an object anymore. You know, it's a gift. There's a story behind it. There's meaning behind it. And so I treat it differently. And I think Genesis is trying to remind us of this. This is not something that we went out and we acquired. This was something that was given to us, been entrusted to us. There's a story behind it, really. How much God loves us and entrusts us with this. And so, we have a greater sense of responsibility. We have a greater sense of gratitude. We're no longer just using it. Hopefully, we're honoring the one who gave it to us. This morning, I wanted you to hear from one of our youth why this is important, especially to her generation as well. So I'm going to invite Ellie to come and to share a little bit. Ellie?
Good morning. My name is Ellie Seipert, and I am the youth representative of St. Stephen's Creation Care Team. On this Creation Care Sunday, I would like to briefly discuss why being mindful towards our earth is not only beneficial to the environment, but also the younger generations. I think I speak on behalf of most people my age when I say that I want an earth that is regenerative, vibrant, and thriving, especially as someone who is active and outdoors a lot. So for people my age, it can be a little alarming to hear that a warming earth has the potential to affect water resource availability and shift climate regimes. For me, this will look like possibly spending my 40s on an earth where heat waves are more common and water resources are depleting. I do not want to live like that. I don't want to live a life consumed by the potential detriment of how we are living right now. But by changing just the smallest habits, gradually, the shift away from such drastic outcomes will begin. In Psalm 24, God calls us to take care of his land. Verse 1 reads, "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it." Essentially, as followers of Christ, it is our job to respect God's creation and do so by keeping it maintained and healthy. The earth belongs to God, and we are here to take care of it. So recycle old belongings, turn down the thermostat, reduce plastic use, compost, and even install solar panels throughout your home. As we all know, it takes just a short amount of time to create a habit. I strongly encourage everyone in this room to go home and change something about the way you're living to make it more environmentally friendly. Please make the change today, and the day after, and the day after, and soon it will become a mindless habit. Remember, we can always do more when it comes to creation care. Not only will this lead to a better environment, but also a better future for my generation. Thank you.
Yeah, so change something. I mean, start somewhere. Start by doing something. And, you know, there's all kinds of ways to do that and ways to approach that. We all have our own ways, you know, we can do it. I mean, some of us, we bought an EV, and so that's a way, you know, a way to do that and reducing the carbon footprint. Others, you know, are really enthusiastic about recycling or other kinds of things. And I think a lot of us, we kind of already do this in some ways. I think we, you know, it's kind of, but you might be surprised at how unintentionally we don't do this. And I'll give you a great example. So in our home, we take the recycling, we lay it off to the side, and Brady takes it to the recycling bin. Okay, that's his job. but so, you know, our cans, whatever it might be, our bags we bring here. But I can't tell you, I've gone in the pantry and I've put something in the trash can, and I look down in the trash can and there's a plastic bottle and there is an aluminum can and there's something else, and I'm like, people. That's how I address my hoard. I just say, people, we recycle. Quit throwing it in the trash. You know, it's just how unintentionally we can't, you know, we don't always do this. So we do have to be intentional. We have to be conscious of it. And so we start somewhere. It might be somebody in your neighborhood, you pick up the trash. You notice the places that have maybe been overlooked. You just small steps to make your corner of your world a little bit better. It might be to participate in a community garden if you don't have room to do a garden yourself. I mean, none of us have the time and the space for all of that, and so we can participate in that way, dig in the dirt a little bit. One church I served, our youth group, they started a community garden. Now, it was out in the country, so there was a lot of folks who knew how to do that. And so the youth group, part of what they would do every Sunday during the season, would go out and they would, you know, they would cultivate that garden. They would pick if it was growing, if they would pull the weeds, whatever. And they had a pretty big garden. And they would take all the fruits of that garden and they would get shared. It would be given away. And it was amazing. The youth started it, and then some other people started coming alongside of them and helping and being a part of that. It was really cool. Another church I served, there was a older couple in the church, and they loved our kids. They were little at that time, and they loved our kids, and they would go over to their house, and they would look after them and things. And I can remember one time we were coming over to pick them up. I think they had gone with them maybe home after church or something. Anyway, we came over to the house to pick them up, and they were out in their garden. The buyers had this garden, and my kids were out in the garden, and they all had their own little hose. They had their own little gardening tools because the buyers had bought each of them their own little gardening tool, and they had planted, each of them had planted their own row of potatoes. And so they were out there cultivating their potatoes. And then, because they had planted them, then they wanted to go back to the buyers all the time because they wanted to check on how their potatoes were doing. And when they produced, it was like, you know, they had discovered the golden egg. It was like, oh, I got a potato. We had to take it home, and, you know, we had to be very careful as we prepared it. And we ate our potatoes. But, you know, it's just... We can all do something. Think about, again, you know, our daily habits, because what we do repeatedly shapes the world around us. How we use water, how we handle our food, what we throw away without thinking. And that's maybe when we do something or we take the next step, because a lot of us are already doing something. So what's the next step for you? And we all have our different ways to approach it, okay? But it's just really is living into this directive that God's given us to care for that which he's entrusted to us. You know, again, I think about my days in the garden and planting those little tomato seeds and cultivating that and watching that and being reminded, you know what, hey, this little patch of ground had always been there. And I think God's just inviting us to step back into the garden, not just the one in Genesis, but the one we stand in every single day. Look around. We're standing in God's garden. And to notice, right? And to pause, and to do something which is going to help make this world in which we live in a little bit better place. And so the generations that are coming after us will be able to enjoy it as we've enjoyed it as well, right? Because this is not a disposable world in which we live in. God still calls it very good. We have the responsibility to live into that. So my hope is that, you know, when God says, you know, take charge of it, we truly understand what that means. We don't get to do anything and everything we want to with it. We have to care for that in the best way we can. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks. For you made this world and you called it good and you placed it here within our care. And so forgive us for all the ways in which we have failed to do that. For all the ways in which we've treated your gift as disposable. And so I pray, oh Lord, that you would open our eyes again, help us to see the beauty and the goodness that is around us, and give us grateful hearts so that we might tend to what you have placed in our care and to do that well. So teach us to be faithful in the small things, in our daily choices, in our habits that we have, in the spaces that are right in front of us. Make us people who reflect your love, not only in how we relate to one another, but how we relate to this creation that you've entrusted us with. For it's in your name that we pray. Amen.